If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 4, and I believe it's going to come up on the screen. But chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 1 and read to 11, but please raise your Bible high in the air. If you got your mark, put your finger on it or whatever you need to do. But let's once again, see, this is my commitment, and I hope it's your commitment too. I put this little saying together because it should be our commitment to our Heavenly Father to follow this commitment. This is the living Word of God that I trust and obey. What it says is true from Genesis to Revelations. Today my heart is receptive and my spirit is alive as I learn to submit my will to His. I am forever changed, a child of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let us read Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now then, the tempter came to him. He said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on a high, exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "I'll give you all these things, I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Heavenly Father, sweet holy Jesus, thank you for all that you've done. And thank you, O God, for being victorious over Satan's temptation. Because of your victory, we can have victory. Be with us today as we learn of your word, because Jesus, this is your gospel. Amen. Last week we started on the temptations of the Lord. We started on the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He had come out of the water and the dove ascended on him. And the Lord and God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the devil drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I want to repeat something that I said last week, and it says the temptations of Jesus that Jesus faced were designed by God to see, not designed by God to see if he would sin, but to prove that he wouldn't. Here Jesus exposed Satan and his tactics, and he defeated Satan. And because of his victory, we can have victory over that tempter. Now that is an amen corner. Because of what Jesus did for you and I, we can have victory over every temptation that is laid upon you and I. I'm not telling you because you're saved and because you're a Christian that you're not going to be tempted. I will tell you, you will be. From the day you accepted the Lord as your personal Savior to the day you go on into glory, you will have temptation. Because the devil hates you. And because he hates you, he's going to try to tear you down, knock you down, tempt you, overwhelm you, and cause you to sin. That's his duty. Another one of his duties is not only to cause you to sin, but cause you to be so overwhelmed that you die. Am I right? Because it's his duty to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can do it, he'll take your life. Understand that, because it's vitally important to know his tactics. He's sneaky. Okay? And because of that, we better be aware, and we better be on guard, and we better understand everything that Jesus did. He did it for you and I. And when he won that victory, you can win victory. Let me take you, just back step a little bit from last week. And it says in verse 3 and 4, we saw that Christ was had victory and was victorious over passion. And every one of us has to go through passion. I'm not telling you that it's wrong. I'm not telling you that it's evil. I'm just telling you to be aware of his tactics, because he'll use things against you. He'll use that lovely looking man or that lovely looking woman to go against you. Amen. Are you following me? Okay. And it's how strong you are that you won't allow that to happen. Now, I'm not telling you to bring your sinner friend to church. Sharon took me to church and look what happened. Understand, I'm just telling you to be stronger than the sinner. Because if you're weaker than the sinner will tear you down. The sin in him, not him. Because we're to love the sinner, but hate the sin within the sinner. So be on guard. So the devil was tempting Christ to act independently of the Holy Spirit who had led him into the wilderness. He was seeking to destroy the son's confidence in his father's will and his father's power to sustain him. Satan is always trying to get people to doubt the love and the care of God. So Satan tempted him to use his power to produce instant food. But here's Christ's answer. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Say that with me. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Now, okay, that's a good question there, and I want to answer it for you. What's the mouth of the Lord? His word. I was watching a movie the other night on the pilgrims that came to Plymouth Rock and why they came, and you might be surprised why Mayflower really came here. You got to get that. It's a documentary by Kirk Cameron. In the midst of this, the pilgrims, King James started persecuting anyone that had the Bible in their language and that would read it on their own. Okay? And so there was a young group of people that said, God had given them the Word of God in the English language so that they could understand it and they were going to read it. The fear was that the church of that day would lose its power, that people would begin to understand, why are they so rich and we're so poor? And so that's why they alienated the Word of God from the common person. But it wasn't God's calling. God wants everyone to have the Word of God. That's why it was laid out to the pilgrims. That's why they went through persecution. Many thousands and thousands were killed just for having a Bible. Heresy, it was called. Heresy. You don't have the knowledge to understand the Word of God, so we're going to put you to the stake and burn you. We're going to kill you. Throw you to the lion. See, this was what was going on, not in the medieval days, not in the days of Christ. This was very recently. In the last 100 and something years ago. So the pilgrims decided to get their freedom. They were going to go from England to America. And that's what they did. Freedom. Did you know that's what this Bible is all about? It's freedom. And they came to America for freedom. If you want to watch that documentary, let me know. And I'll make sure I let you borrow it. It's a great, great, great documentary. There's things that you'll know about it that you'll never know before because our government doesn't want to tell you. There's a statue in Virginia that's 40 feet high that goes over all the commands of God to his people and was given to the pilgrims. Let me go on because it goes deeper than that. So his first victory was won. Victory over passion. Victory over the lust of the world to have things done and given to you instantly. Okay? That upset the devil. So he tries his next temptation. And in verse 5 and 7, we saw that Christ was also victorious over presumption. Satan took Jesus to the Temple Mount. And from that high point, Satan proceeded to tempt Jesus. He says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. But Jesus answers to him and says, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Satan will use Scripture, which he did in this temptation. He will use Scripture against you. But he'll use it out of context. Why do we have so many different things that took place in our world today? The Jim Jones, the Caliban, all these things took place because a man took the Bible out of context and put it in his own words and drew a group of people. And people were ignorant enough to follow a man and not follow the Lord. That was an amen corner. Oh my goodness. But again, Jesus wins another victory. And Satan lost his second chance to deceive Jesus. So now the devil drops his mask. And having failed miserably in the first two attempts to conquer his enemy, he stakes everything on this one final desperate attempt to achieve his purpose. Now, are you ready for it? In verse 8 through 11, we see that Christ was victorious over power. Power. Now, I think everyone likes to have a little bit of power. You know, a lot of our kings and our rulers and people that are even rich would much rather have power over their riches. Because if they have power, they'll automatically have those riches. That's what they assume. So Satan would also offer him position and prestige. Verses 8 and 9 tells us that Satan begins this temptation by showing Christ all the kingdoms of the world. Now that took something to do. But he was able to do it. All the kingdoms of the world were now laid in front of Christ. And he said just this one very simple statement. All of it, all the world, all the people, everything can be yours. And all you have to do is bow to me and worship me. Do you understand that's what's going on today? Satan is deceiving Christians today. Satan is deceiving people today to have them bow down to him. Well, how does that happen? If you worship TV more than you do God, you just bow down to Satan. If you worship your job more than God, that becomes your idol. Anything that is above God becomes an idol. And God is telling you and I specifically that you should not do that, but you should give all your worship and all your praise to him because he deserves it. That was another amen, by the way. Satan comes at Jesus boasting of his temporary control of the world. And that is true. In Revelations, it says God of this world holds the title deed for now, according to Revelations. He holds the title deed for now. But if we were to drop it right there, it would leave every Christian discouraged, desperate, and kind of at an awe. What do you mean? What do you mean? Well, I'm not going to leave you there, please. But he could not grant him permanent control. Do you understand that? Remember that everything that the devil can offer you is only temporary. And it will not bring any lasting satisfaction. I won't say that again. Anything the devil offers you to tempt you to satisfy your sinful need, it is a pleasure and a sin for a season, and he makes it look like everything is okay. But guess what? It's all going to come closing down on you. And when it closes down on you, it's going to make you feel depressed, down, out. Why do we have so many suicides today, even among the young people, even among church people, even among all these great actors and superstars? Because they have desired the temporary satisfaction and not the holy satisfaction that our Heavenly Father can give. The devil knew Jesus was promised the kingdom. He knew that. But he was willing to offer him a shortcut to his kingdom. For Jesus, that kingdom would be received only after 3.5 years of ministry. And after his suffering and his dying on the cross and rising again. That's what took place for him to receive back the kingdom of this world. Because he took the keys of hell, death, and the grave from Satan while he was in the grave. Went right to hell to do it. He can do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, how Satan effectively uses that kind of temptation today. Satan is always offering instant gratification. Shortcuts. And the Bible does admit there is temporary pleasure in sin. Let me say that one more time. Temporary pleasure in sin. And too many are like Esau. How many of you know the story of Esau? See, I got a few of you that raised your hand. This is in the Old Testament. Esau was the firstborn, but didn't have a whole lot of concern about being the firstborn and having the birthright and having all the things that go with the firstborn. He didn't want the responsibility. So he sold out his birthright, his value of the birthright, for a temporary pleasure of a mess of soup. Pottage, they called it. For a pot of soup. It was temporary pleasure to satisfy his hunger. So many of us look to temporary pleasure to satisfy what you want. To satisfy your sin. Let's just be truthful about this. And so you look for and you justify your sin by saying, I got to feel good. I feel so terrible today. I got to go out there and get drunk. I got to go out there and take some drugs because I got to feel better. And I guarantee you, because I've known several drug addicts that are now born again and living for the Lord, and they say, Pastor, it was just a temporary thing. Because I always came down, and when I came down harder than when I got it the first time. And it required me to get more and more and more and more. Heroin's on the rise today because it gives you that falseness of being in a utopia. You know, you just feel so good. And then when you start to come down, you feel so bad. So you take more to feel so good. And the thing about heroin, you got to take a lot of it. You know? You start out little. I know because we had an article or that we had to do in my Infinity Hospice. We talked about that versus morphine and a bunch of other drugs. And we talked about their effects. Okay? So I learned. Did you know that your pastor learned a lesson? I learned that as we were going through this, I was saying to myself, that is true. It gives you temporary pleasure. It takes the cares of this world, the responsibilities of this world, and sets it there for a temporary time where you don't even care about the world. But guess what? When you come down, the world comes crashing down. Why do we have so many people dying on heroin? I'm talking about movie stars. This last one that just died, they claimed he was such an excellent movie star. He had everything going for him, including his drugs. And he was never a happy camper and ended up killing himself by overdosing. I don't believe he committed suicide. I believe he was just needing more. And I can only pray that at that very last moment that he said, Lord, forgive me. I can only pray that. I don't know. We need to follow the example of Christ. Christ maintained loyalty to God. Christ endured the cross. He endured the suffering. And he knew that beyond the cross became the crown of glory. He knew that. And I believe that his example is to tell you and I that you will go through things. You'll have the mountain experiences. You'll have the valley experiences. But no matter what you go through, keep your loyalty and your obedience to the Heavenly Father above. And when you can do that, He will see you through. And when that time comes and you either pass on or the rapture takes place, which probably is going to happen soon, sooner than later. But one way or the other, there's a crown of glory waiting for you in heaven. Hallelujah. But you've got to go through. There is no shortcuts to receiving that crown. There are no shortcuts. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And, I like this, and sat down at the right hand of God and the throne of God. Now does that tell you something? If he can do it, you can do it. Satan has always had a problem of wanting to take the place of God. He wants people to worship and honor him. Here is a desperate attempt to receive such an honor. But Jesus replies, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and in him only shall you serve." Christ put God and obedience of God above everything else. And I'm telling you this morning, your life will be a lot less complicated if you will just trust God enough to say that his way is the best way and live obedient to his way, not your way. The final round of this conflict is over. Jesus was victorious over the most powerful temptation Satan could ever throw at him. And because Jesus resisted all the temptations of Satan, he could issue the command to him, "Away with you, Satan." And that command, guess who else has the authority to lay out that command? I'm glad someone thinks it. Anyone else? That's not even an amen corner. That's a hallelujah corner. Because I'll tell you something. He's going to throw everything he can at you, like he did to Jesus. But because Jesus was victorious and obedient, you can be victorious and obedient to God. And you can tell Satan, "Get out of here. In the name of Jesus, be gone." And guess what? He has to. In verse 11, I like tremendously because it says the result of his supremacy over him. It says, "Then the devil left him. And behold, the angels came and they ministered to him." And the good news is that 1 John 4:4 indicates we can have the same supremacy. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And James 4:7 says, and it tells us to resist the devil. James, resist the devil, and he has to flee. And it's not of his own will. Because, guess what? You, if you're not of God and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, and the devil comes at you and says, "Get out of here, Satan," he's going to laugh at you. The only way that you have authority is knowing the Lord is your personal Savior. Hallelujah. I'm getting strong today because I believe that you need to be strong in God. You need to know the Lord is your personal Savior. And if you don't know him, I guarantee you, you will fail. You will fall. You will fall miserably at the hands of Satan. He is real. Don't mess with him because he will win. Resist the devil, and he will flee. If you are a Christian, Satan has no authority over you. And you can't say, "The devil made me do it." You don't know how many Christians I've heard say that. They got into trouble, got into a spat, you know, got into sin. And they come back at you and said, "The devil made me do it." I disagree with them, and I'll tell it right to them their face. "Don't you tell me the devil made you do it. You had your own will. You chose to do it. Now get down on your knees and ask God to forgive you." Right? And guess what? You have the authority to command that to people that come to you and lay that little lie out. Okay, don't say amen to that one. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Oh my goodness. 2 Peter 2:9 says, "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." Do you understand what I'm saying today? There is never a necessity for the believer to sin. I'm going to say that one more time. It's never a necessity for a born-again... I'll go beyond Christian because too many people use that word falsely. We're a Christian nation. Oh, yeah, right. No. Every born-again, bona fide Jesus lover has the authority over Satan. And if they so be it, obedient to God, they will not sin. I'm not telling you that you can't. I'm telling you will not if you keep your obedience. The problem with so many Christians today is we get too laxed. Churches today don't preach on sin. Churches today preach on, oh, how good it feels, you know, to go out and have fun. Hey, our good Lord, He's so gracious. He would never send us to hell. I don't even know if hell exists. Boy, do they have an awakening. Boy, do they have an eye-open awakening. But now, I could leave you there and it'd be great. But I got one more little statement to tell you, found in verse 11. And notice that after the conflict came and left, glad refreshment came afterward. Verse 11. Then the angels came. They probably bought him bodily nourishment. Perhaps they cooked some heavenly hash. And for dessert, they had angel's food cake. Do you understand? Just say no to temptation, and the Lord will reward you with joy and peace, a clear conscience, your needs met, and ultimately, a heavenly reward. Amen? A heavenly reward. The Lord's way is always the best way. The battle is over now for Christ. Christ won the victory. He was now ready to begin His ministry. He has proven perfect obedience. Now He has the right to call on others to obey God. Do you understand that He had to go through temptation? He had to go up on that mountain. He had to do all that to prove obedience to God. And He had to do it before He could even ask anyone to follow Him. Okay, what about us? We are a people that need to be on fire for God. We are a people that need to be out witnessing. We have a world that's dying and go to hell. And it's your response. Don't lay that blame on your pastor. Okay? Don't lay it on me. The whole responsibility of your Christian walk lies on you. And part of that Christian walk is to talk to others about the Lord. To lead others to the Lord. To lead them to the Lord. Let us give Him our obedience and our loyalty as Lord of our lives. Again I say, resist the devil and he will flee. And as I close this morning, I close to let you know He's ready. Jesus, this is the gospel of Jesus. Now He's ready for His ministry. He comes off that mountain. I believe He comes off that mountain walking on cloud 9. How many of you ever felt that way? Good Lord's blessed you so much. You've been on that mountain so great. Woo-wee! Hallelujah! Do I have to leave? And you start walking down that mountain. And you know what is lies... like Jesus, we know what lies ahead. Okay? But He walked off that mountain on fire for God. And He started His ministry. And He said, "I will make you fishermen of men."
Next week, let's learn how to be fishers of men. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for all that you do. I thank you for each and every one here, Lord. And I do pray, Lord, that they give you the obedience that you so deserve. They give you their loyalty that you so deserve. You went through a harder temptation than any of us will ever go through. And you became victorious from that. Take that victory. Because, Lord, you live in us. I do believe we are weak vessels. And the only thing that gives us strength, oh God, is you. Because you live in us, we can have that strength to live obedient. We can have that strength to have loyalty in you. Let us do that, Lord, I pray. And as we go through temptation, God, help us. Help us. Help us, oh Lord, to go through it in victory. In victory like Jesus. On that mountaintop. I believe when the last one was done and the nourishment began and the angels became to minister to him, it was a glorious time. I believe they were having a heavenly party, God. Jesus, I believe that. You won victorious over Satan, and now it was your timing, your rule, your way. Help us to feel that same way in our walk with you. This morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I'm going to ask just one question. I'm not going to ask if you're saved or not. That's between you and God. But what I am going to ask you, if you've ever gone through temptation before and you failed, maybe you're going through temptation right now and you need help, I want to tell you that Jesus understands. He understands you. He understands what you're going through, and he's waiting for you to call out to him. If that is you this morning, this pastor would love just an opportunity to pray with you. Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, guess who's there? Jesus. If you're struggling today with something that seems overwhelming, and you want to raise your hand, and you want to acknowledge this to Jesus, because you're not acknowledging it to this pastor, you're acknowledging it to Jesus. And if you do that, I have a Heavenly Father that sees that acknowledgement, honors that acknowledgement, and will lead you and help you through. And I would be honored to pray with you. Anyone else? I see that hand. I see that hand. As hands go up all around. Yes, I see that hand. I see that hand. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, not only do I see it, but God, I know that you see it. And I pray this morning that you help those. Help them go through it. And God, if it's overwhelming, help them know that they can tell the devil to go away, and he will have to go away in your name. If they are truly a born-again believer, I'm not talking Christian, because that's such a false name anymore. I'm talking about knowing you, Lord, as our personal Savior, having a personal relationship with you. And I believe that if they have that personal relationship and they are struggling so hard with something that is not right, I believe they can call on you. I believe they can do that, and then you'll come. I believe they can tell the devil to get away, and he has to get away. And when he gets away, I know you come in, oh God, and you refresh our spirits. You refresh our desires for you. You refresh our momentum in you. Be with each and every one today, I pray. Let us sing that song. To follow sing it to the Lord right now.